This is day two of the destruction, and it's not good, of course.
No. I think a lot of people on the Gold Coast would have seen the pictures. We shared them on Facebook yesterday, the chopper footage. When you first watched that, Steve, what was it like for you?
Oh, like many people who know Binnaburra over many generations, it's heartbreaking when you see the destruction of a place that's so dear to so many. We're still facing difficult situation with the fires and the wind again today. So the remaining bit of infrastructure that we had yesterday at the lodge is still under threat. I have to get an update from just last night, because the wind was moving around a lot again last night too. So, but I think it's reasonably safe to say we've pretty much lost a lot of the lodge.
Yeah, and what was remaining that might still be under threat?
We had a couple of the townhouses and what we call our sky lodges still standing yesterday or last night, and our camping ground and what we call our tea house, which is at the trailhead of the national park, was still standing. I'm at the Beachmont fire shed now, and I'm still waiting to try and get an update from the emergency services teams to see how we fared last night. But the best case scenario for us is that we end up with our campground and our tea house, which will be a basis for us to plant a seed to go into a new era for Binnaburra. Worst case scenario is that we lose that also. And then we have to go through that process of thinking about what's the next phase of the next 100 years of a place like Binnaburra.
Yeah, because it was, 1933, wasn't it? So it's 80-something years.
86 years this year. And, in fact, this year at our annual meeting in November, our guest of honour was a lady, elderly lady from Canberra, who attended the very first camp at Binnaburra in December 1933. She's the daughter one of the founders of Binnaburra. He was also one of the founders of the Queensland National Parks Association. So it was quite a historic event we were planning. But we might still go ahead with that. We might do something like reenact the original camp from 1933 at Binnaburra and use that as a starting point for a new era.
Well, it did grow from something small. It's not like it was that, in the 1930s. Steve, it's only 2 weeks ago that I knocked on the door of the tea house because I was staying in the safari tents and I'd forgotten to bring a can opener with me, camping 101 mistake. And and I knocked on the door because I thought the people in the tea house looked like they were a lot more organised than me. So if the tea house and some of the camping can be spared, but as you say, it's still at the will of this fire, you can't get in. I want to ask you about your personal circumstances too, Steve, because you've left your home as well.
Yes, my home is on the road that's which is closest to the lodge in terms of where houses are. In our street, about 10 of our neighbours have lost their houses, and the rest of the houses in the street are still under threat, of course. So we just wait a wait and see game. Hopefully these winds die down a bit over the next few days. That will be good news. But we're staying with some friends just down the road outside the exclusion zone, and that's the first sleep I had for a few hours last night, and the winds were howling around last night too. So I still have to get an update this morning on where the fires are this stage of the day.
Yeah. So of the 10 houses, do the people who own those houses know? Like, for instance, would you know if that was your house?
Our house is still standing at this stage because the fire crews go past our house when they're going up to the fire site. So I do get reports that our house is still standing. So, and hopefully the fire is contained enough for that our end of the street to be safe. But unfortunately for many of our neighbours further down the street, and a shocking situation for them.
Yeah.
Lost everything.
I think it would go without saying that, a community of your size would be close-knit. So are you in touch with others who have lost, like, I guess I'm wondering, do people know their homes are gone, or are they wondering whose homes have been spared and whose are gone?
I think those who are house owners who have lost their houses and those who have not lost their houses on Timborough Drive would have access to information if they required it. To their credit, the emergency services and the police and the rural fire and the fire services, even the paramedics, ambulance services, and the national parks officials, and the various community volunteer groups have just done a magnificent job in the last couple of days. And so there's lots of sharing of information, there's lots of support mechanisms, and the system and the partnerships between government agencies and communities is working the way that you would expect it to work, and it's just been fantastic. That those people who are affected in whatever, from a catastrophic effect like losing your house and all your belongings, through to other effects, where they desire to reach out or need to, it's fantastic to see the way that the systems are in place to support them.
Yeah. I can see you moving into kind of administrative mode, Steve. It might be a way to cope at this time, but I hope that some of the support that you talk about includes, you know, two big arms to wrap around you and your staff, because I hope you can feel that from the community of the Gold Coast, because we are equally devastated for you. It's an iconic part of our hinterland, and, you know, it really is. I mean, I'm tearing up a little here, and I apologise for it, but it's actually devastating for us all, I think.
Thank you for those words.